dead body, expecting a dead body. As we continue going through the book of John, verse by verse, we are starting to come close to the end of it. This summer will be 11 years since we've been in the Gospel of John, taking our time going through it. Have learned much. Probably one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible thus far is John chapter 17. Tremendous chapter. We get an insight of Christ's intercessory prayer and who He prays for and who He doesn't pray for. And the work that's going on that we can't see with our eyes, but that we believe by faith. Peter and John here had gone back where they were before Mary went to them. They have left the sepulcher, they've left the tomb, they've gone back home, was what the Bible says, where they were at, the building they were staying in. Mary stayed. She stayed, obviously not knowing what to do. Her plans to finish anointing the body of Jesus was, in her mind, delayed. Only delayed until she could find the body. The other ladies who had came to the tomb with her had already left. Here she is in a garden. This garden has tombs hewed out in the rocks. She's there alone. She is alone. She is afraid in a sense. And she's about to be amazed. She, just like the rest, came expecting to find the body of Christ. She's heartbroken. Because in her mind, she thinks someone has taken the body of Christ. She thinks someone has stolen His body away. Verse 11 says, "But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. And see of two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." Mary came again expecting a dead body. Expecting to find the body of Christ, whom she saw die on the cross. He gave up the ghost. She saw them take him down. She watched where they placed him in the tomb. And she was ready the first thing that Sunday morning, the first day of the week. She came. The stone was rolled away. And the body of Christ is not there. The words that Christ has spoke to her, not just her, but to all of His disciples about His resurrection, has not come to her remembrance. She is weeping. And she wants to do her best in anointing the dead body of Christ. Aren't you glad things don't always go our way? Isaiah 55, 8-11 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither your ways, my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." That's Isaiah 55, 8-11. And in those verses we see the sovereignty of God. Total control. And though we cannot fully grasp all that we know about this, we can rest knowing that His will, according to His Word, will be accomplished. And nothing and no one can alter or stop it. And we believe these things not by sight, but by faith. See, we were not there when Christ rose from the grave. Physically, we were not there, were we? Matter of fact, no one saw the resurrection.
no human being. But what they did see was the resurrected Christ. Amen. Mary had been following Christ by sight. Now she must follow by faith. When we looked at some of these things in the past few weeks, this faith that is to follow Christ by is not positive thinking, but believing the Word of God in context. And that's so important. Mary is weeping. Matter of fact, she is constantly weeping here. This weeping is to weep out loud. It means to wail aloud. Her broken heart is on display for all who were there to hear. She's grieving so bad that she doesn't see all the good that's going on around her. Two angels just spoke to her. And she doesn't know it. These angels were in the form of men, as they always are in Scripture. They did not have wings. I know you may see pictures of them with wings. They didn't have wings. They didn't have a halo around their head. They were dressed in white. They looked like ordinary men. Hebrews 13:2 says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." But I want to add this here. Mary didn't go to the tomb looking for signs and wonders. She didn't go to the tomb looking for angels or to commune with angels. No. She went looking for her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For His body, matter of fact. And you and I should not be concerned with looking to entertain angels, but we should serve Christ while looking for Christ's return. I know there are those who think if they see an angel that it must mean that they are super spiritual, more spiritual than others. But I'd encourage you to do a study on when angels visit men. You'll find out that most of the time it was not good. Destruction followed thereafter. John 20, look at verses 14 and 15. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She supposed him to be the gardener, saith unto him, "Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." She didn't recognize angels as being angels, and she didn't recognize Christ as being Christ. Why? For Christ was standing up. Christ was speaking. She came looking for a dead body. Dead bodies don't stand up by themselves. And they don't speak. If they do, then they're not dead. So Mary coming and looking for a dead body. This is very important, by the way. And as we get closer into looking at the resurrection, I was going to preach on the resurrection this morning, but we're just not quite there yet. Probably next week we'll look more at the resurrection. But it's very important that we understand that not just Mary, but the disciples came not expecting Christ to be resurrected. They came also in fear. And they left fearful. So I'll encourage you to keep that in the back of your minds as we continue going through these verses here in chapter 20. Mary figured that Jesus was the gardener. Again, she was overcome with grief. She just wanted the body of Jesus. That's all she wanted. Just give me the body, so I can do my service to His body. She wanted closure. She wanted to give her best to the one who set her free from a life of misery. If you remember, she was possessed by 7 demons. A miserable life. And I know that we looked at that a few weeks ago. But this is the mindset of all whom Christ has saved, that we want to give Him our best. We desire to present our bodies a living sacrifice. And we do this knowing that without Christ we are nothing and can do nothing. We understand that we were at one time dead in trespasses and sins. And we were headed for a literal eternal hell. We understand that we were conceived deserving eternal hell. Therefore we love Him who loved us when we were unlovable, like that song we sang a while ago, Victory in Jesus. And though we are frail, and though we are fallible, we give Him our all, for He is worthy. We don't do it for show. We don't do it so we can get certificates or awards or recognition. No, we do it for Him, whether anyone is watching or not. We can agree there's much that Mary did not understand. She just didn't know some things. But we can never doubt her love for her Savior. She loved Him. If she could just see Jesus one more time, to hear His voice and to be comforted by His teaching, she's there at the tomb wanting and desiring the body of Christ. Verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto Him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren. And say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Here in verse 16, Christ calls her by name. In verse 15, His first words to her was, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? He's speaking to her in verse 15 as the Creator to His creation, woman. But now, in verse 16, He calls her Mary. Here in verse 16, He is speaking as Savior to one whom He has redeemed. And folks, how wonderful it is to know that you belong to the Redeemer. Isaiah 43:1 says, But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Amen. You who I have redeemed, you art mine. How wonderful it is for God to tell you that you belong to Him. God is saying this. Christ says, Mary. Mary. 1 John 5:13 says, These things have I written on you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. He called her by name. He also calls us by name. Whether it's like on the day of Pentecost when over 3,000 souls were added to the church, or if it's in a remote place, or if it's on a church pew, wherever it is, He calls us by name. That's why He is our personal Savior. John 10:3, the Bible says, To Him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear His voice, and He calls His own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Now, I want us to picture Mary. She is weeping. Now, folks, she's weeping aloud. Have you ever heard someone weep aloud? Have you ever been the bearer of bad news? And here, a wife or a husband or a family member, a loved one, to begin to weep and to wail. Oh, she's there at this tomb. She ain't just got the sniffles. She's weeping. I can remember when my mother-in-law was killed. in an accident. And I was given the duty of calling everybody. That was tough. Even thinking about it now is tough. And I remember having to call Mr. Gerald. He answered the phone, said our hellos, and asked him to sit down. Do you remember that, Mr. Gerald? So, he said, okay, son. He sat down. I'm sorry, y'all. And I gave him the bad news. And immediately he began to weep. As it goes with this definition here, wailing out loud. And I'm saying this because I want you and I to grasp Mary here. Folks, she's weeping. She is grieving. She is hurting. She's longing for a Savior, and her expectations are to find a dead body that she can anoint. And all of a sudden she hears her name. Mary. Now folks, I say all the time that we can't thrive on our emotions, right? But we are emotional people. We must not forget that either. Here she goes from weeping, sorrowful, to over here, excited and joyful. Rabboni! And picture her falling at his feet, saying, Master, Master. She went from weeping for Christ to worshiping Christ. And this transition was immediate. And being in the presence of Christ took all of her sorrow, all of her pain, and all of her agony away. Being in the presence of Christ. Folks, we got some stuff to look forward to, don't we? John 16:33 says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Have overcome the world. In Revelation 21:3-4, scriptures that we know very well. It says, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things will pass away. Can you say, He is my God? And I belong to Him? I am His and He is mine. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Mary's attention was on the tomb. She was focused on the tomb being empty. She was focused... on finding the dead body of Christ. That's all she wanted. Just give me His body. I'll take it away. I'll take care of it. But upon hearing her name spoken by her Savior, she turns her back on the tomb and worships her Savior. This is important. She never went back to the tomb. Never went back to the tomb. No need to. He's not dead. He's alive. She never looked back at the tomb. No need to. Nor would she fear going to her own tomb. Because death was swallowed up in victory. In verse 17, Jesus tells her,
that she must let him go. He says unto her, touch me not. This means to stop clinging to him. This didn't mean that she couldn't touch him, but that she must stop clinging to him. Do you think she wants to let him go? There she was, hurting, weeping. And there he is. Now she's excited and joyful. Can you picture her grabbing hold to his feet, his legs, and just with a bear hug, amen. You ain't getting away this time. He tells her, no, you can't cling to me. Not like this. You gotta let me go. See, Christ had not yet went back to the Father. And here, even here, she must learn to follow Christ by faith, not by sight. Not just follow Christ, but love Christ by faith, not by sight. Christ would soon take His place at the right hand of the Father, where He is today, ever living to intercede for all who belong to Him. Again, there's much that Mary did not know or understand. She was not a theologian. She hadn't taken any classes anywhere other than the teachings of Christ, which no doubt were perfect. Amen. But one thing that we all know is that she did love Christ. You and I must be instructed by the Scriptures. We must go on to know Christ. But no matter how much we know or do not know, our affection, our love must be on Christ. Can you just go back to when the Lord first saved you? How much did you know? You didn't know hardly nothing, did you? I didn't either. But I knew this, I loved Him. And everybody else knew I loved Him. Because you can't stop talking about those whom you love and those whom you have affection for. Constantly, continually. A.W. Pink says, this is a good quote by A.W. Pink. We may know much truth intellectually, but unless the heart is absorbed with Christ, He will not reveal Himself to such an one in the intimacies of love and communion. I also want to say this. Let me add this in here. As I've gone on to know more about Christ, and I have a long way to go, this, I don't know a whole lot. The more I learn, the more I understand, I don't know a whole lot. But as I've gone on through the Word of God and learned more about who Christ is, what He's done, what He's doing, what He's going to do, my love has grown. Amen? It's just, it abounds more and more, knowing more about who Christ is. Christ tells Mary in verse 18 to go to His brethren. Or verse 17 tells her this. This is the first time Christ calls His disciples brethren in this context. He has called them slaves. He has called them friends. Now He calls them brethren. This is not in the sense of a mother, a sister, or a brother, as He spake in Mark 3. But in the sense that we are joint heirs with Christ and that heaven is our home. He told us in John 14 that He's going to prepare a place for us that where He is, there we may be also. We have a room in the Father's house. And we whom Christ has saved, we are His bride, right? But we are also adopted children. God. Christ tells her to go, and He sends her with a message. And she went. And she was obedient and delivered that message. John 16:28 says, a sin unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God.
I'm sorry, 16:28 says, I came forth from the Father and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. He didn't tell her to go tell them I'm risen, did he? He didn't say go tell them that I'm alive. He said, go tell them that I'm going to ascend back to my Father. John 17:11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Verse 13, and now I come to thee. And these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Christ's message for them is that He is going back to heaven. He did not rise from the grave to remain on this earth. Not why he rose. No, he told them he had to go away. John 16:7 says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Christ must go. There is more that Christ says to them when he discloses himself to them, and we'll see that in the coming weeks. So Mary goes as she's bidden. And she proclaims what she has been instructed to proclaim. Verse 18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that He had spoken these things unto her. She went and delivered the message as Christ commanded her. Can you picture this? She went to the tomb brokenhearted. She left with a mix of emotions, running back to the disciples, Peter and John. She comes back as they outrun her, obviously. She gets back and they leave. She's there by herself. Here she is again, all emotional, weeping, crying. But now she's going back to them with a message from the Lord. You see how joyful she is? I can't help but see her just gliding across the running. Amen? That's just what I see. I don't know. Wasn't there. But she's excited. If she had tears, no doubt they were tears of joy. She went to the tomb that morning expecting to find a dead body. Her plans were to finish anointing that dead body. But God had really messed her plans up. And like her, we're glad He did. Christ is alive, folks. He is risen. He is at the right hand of the Father, interceding for all who have been given to Him. And one day He's coming back, and what a glorious day that will be. But until then, He's also given us a message to proclaim to this world. A commission to go and teach all about Him, discipling them, and baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. That's our commission. To reconcile those whom He has called to Himself. Now here's the thing. We have no idea whom God is dealing with, do we? When God's dealing with people. When God's convicting people. All we see is the outside. That's why it's so important that we are faithful to proclaim the gospel message. What's God given us to proclaim? The gospel. We are to proclaim the depravity of man and all that that entails. And listen, this is why it's so important. It's good to hand out tracts. That's good to do. It's good to knock on doors. That's good to do. But it's also important that we sit down and build relationships with people and tell them about the gospel. Listen, because if you just go up to somebody and you take them by the shirt and you shake them and say, God hates sinners. Run to a son. Here, read this. And go to the next person and do the same thing. I'm not saying God can't use that. God could use whatever He wants to use, right? What is the power of God unto salvation? It is the gospel. Romans 1:16 tells us. But you see the pattern that Christ gave us. He'd sit down. He'd preach. And he'd also sit down and do what? Instruct. Paul, what would he do? He'd preach. Folk would be saved. He'd sit down and he would instruct. And folks, we must do the same thing. We can't save anybody. The church is to do more than just proclaim the gospel. See, Peter and John, they knew the gospel, didn't they? Well, they were learning it, I should say. When she come back to them, she wasn't trying to get them saved, per se, was she? She was comforting the saints. That's also part of our job as Christians. We don't just show up here just to go through the motions, do we? We shouldn't. We seek to serve one another, to help one another. We love one another. Thank God for the local church. Now, no one is to be a rogue Christian out and about just doing what they want to do. Thank God for His Word. We're also thankful for the Comforter who came on the day of Pentecost and takes up residence in everyone whom Christ saves, teaching us, instructing us, and sealing us until the day of redemption. You and I aren't looking for a dead body, are we? No. We aren't looking for angels, are we? Nope. We're looking for the return of Christ. And He's coming back. Now, I know that lots of folk go to and take a tour of what's called the Holy Land, and that's great. If that's your desire. Personally, that's not my desire, but I know lots of folks have went, and I think it's good to go. If you want to go. But folks, it just don't do me any good to look at an empty tomb. How about y'all? And I'm glad it's empty. Lord willing, in the coming weeks, we'll look at some things, some proofs that they try to use to say that Christ did not truly rise, and it none of it lines up, and it never will. Christ did rise. Our Lord and Savior did what He said He would do. And He has continued doing what He said He would do. And He will do what He said He would do. Are y'all looking for His return? Are you living like that? Because He's coming back. How's He going to find us? He's coming back. Like the Apostle John, I just simply want to say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come. Let's pray. Father, as we close out this service this morning, Lord, I just want to say I love You. Lord, thank You for grace and mercy and long-suffering love towards this old sinner who was undeserving. And Lord, we thank You also for Your Word which instructs us of these things. The Holy Spirit who is inside of every one of us who are saved. Lord, we ask You to work even in here today, Lord, and those who are lost. You would draw them to You. You would save their souls before it's everlasting too late. Lord, that they wouldn't trust themselves. They wouldn't trust what they do or don't do. They'd simply trust You. Lord, we do ask You to come on back. But Lord, until that time, we ask You again, O God, for grace that we may serve You, faithfully serve You. And Lord, serve You with our all, that we would be a living sacrifice, a body, Lord, our bodies, our minds, our hearts, that we would lay it down on the altar. And we'd serve you with our whole heart, mind, soul, and body. That we would do all these things for your honor and for your glory. So again, Lord, that thou art worthy. Help us today. As you work, O God, in Christ's name. Amen.